It's time to hear what's good, what's bad, and what's ugly at the cinemas and on DVD. Get ready for...
Wait for it!
Film Sociology with WFYI's film guru.
Kaiser Sozi!
No, that's Matthew Sozi.
It's such a fine line between stupid and clever. Yeah.
Let's find out how thin the line is. Here's your host, Matthew Sozi.
Hello there, film lovers. Welcome to Film Sociology, a film talk show here on WFYI HD to the Point and WFYI.org. If you have a question or a comment, you can email me at msocey, that's M-S-O-C-E-Y, at WFYI.org. I'm also on Facebook, also on Twitter, at Matthew Sozi. The show is available as a podcast. It's also available on iTunes. And we have a blog, which we'll update someday at
filmsociology.tumblr.com.
The voice you just heard is Kobe Slagle.
Mm-hmm.
Frank has his outfit ready for tomorrow.
He's the roughest, toughest cowboy in the...
Cowcat?
Yes.
I'm surprised you have not made a film of Frank and submitted it to the Cat Film Festival.
The Internet Cat Video Film Festival,
yes.
Coming up at the IMA November 20th?
What? That's the same. You have to work on...
Man, if I could get him in that costume.
You know what? I actually picture Frank as more of a talking head in a 30 by 30 type documentary. Right? Just have Frank Slagle and just kind of staring at the, looking at the camera, pawing at the lens. If you get a meow, it's incredible, but...
Bo always wanted to play baseball, Frank Slagle.
And just stares at it. Anyway, that's Kobe over there.
Yep.
And congratulations to your lovely wife at her costume contest.
Oh, yes. Congratulations.
She basically won by dressing up as Melissa McCarthy's undercover character in Spy. You have to tell her I said that. No, I didn't. So, and we have company, ladies and gentlemen. In studio is actress Kelly Gualdoni, who is in the Eclectic Pond production of Titus Andronicus, playing everyone's favorite scorn woman, not named Medea, Tamara. So, hello, my lady.
Hello.
Now,
thank you for having me.
It's been a long time since she's been on the show. Full disclosure, I've directed this wonderful woman twice. And after playing in Titus Andronicus this summer in Richmond, I'm intrigued to see what the Eclectic Gang will be doing with Shakespeare's Bloodiest Tragedy, which is running tonight and tomorrow night at 8 o'clock. Both are 8?
Yes, both at 8 o'clock.
So you can go trick-or-treating and then go see Titus Andronicus.
It's true. It's a treat for everybody.
It is a treat for everybody. And there will be treats at Titus Andronicus, I assure you. Just don't bring your bag. That's all I'm saying. So,
it's true.
So anyway, she's going to be hanging out with us for the day. We have, of course, it's Halloween Eve. So we'll be talking some scary movies, also known as Stuff Kobe Will Never Watch.
Nope.
Unless my team beats his in fantasy football, also known as Not Happening. Also known as not happening anytime soon. Because my fantasy football team lacks momentum.
And fire.
And passion. And by the way, we do want to thank everybody who supported WFYI during the pledge drive. But if you did not get a chance to show your support, 1-800-233-0020 or go to WFYI.org/give.
Yep.
It's never too late or too early. And you can tell them Film Sociology sent you, whether you did or not. Trying to think, the only film I got to see this week, because I am knee deep in rehearsal as well as classes, my production.
The professor.
I am
here.
Not a professor. That's
so
like
fancy.
I'm not fancy.
Nope.
Kobe's been working the sound booth, haven't you?
Yep.
You started digging into the Archer canon, or is that just you doing Archer?
No, that's him.
What else do you have others that you're going to pepper us with throughout the show
today? We'll just have to wait and see.
Okay, let me try this
Stay
again.
Stay tuned, y'all.
Hey, Kobe, would you like to hear the 25 best horror movies since 2000?
Nope.
Well, you will anyway. All right. Opening in theaters today of, anyway, the production I'm doing, The Exonerated, opens next week, and Richard Probst will be filling in for me next week. So get the ramp ready. Do we have Richard's intro?
Oh,
yeah. Here's Richard. Here's a sample of.
I gotta find it here.
Yeah, say Richard Probst, of course, of the Independent Critic. He will be filling in for me next week while I'm on stage in the Exonerated at Earlham College. Here's a preview of what you could hear for next week's show.
It's me, dear friends, alive and kicking. Well, alive anyway.
I'll be kicking you with my jingle bells.
That's it. Kick the footless man.
You know, you walk into this stuff. Oh, you roll.
Yes! Yes! Awesome!
Well, when a fella comes back from the dead, I find that an occasion to stand up, be counted.
It's not a hard film sociology
it's
if
not
I
hard.
Don't do a foot joke.
And he'll probably do foot jokes.
First. Because that's improper joke etiquette right there. It's all right. Richard started it. So anyway, Richard will be filling in for me next week. So there is that. Okay, opening in theaters today is Truth. And like every other film, based on a true story, inspired by a true story. And this is about the folks over at 60 Minutes and how things kind of went horribly wrong with their coverage. An investigative piece on President George W. Bush's National Guard experience. Anyway, this has Cate Blanchett in it as the producer. We have Robert Redford as Dan Rather, everyone wishes. Topher Grace, Dennis Quaid, Elizabeth Moss, also in the cast. Here's some audio.
Why did you get into journalism?
Curiosity. Why'd you get into it?
You.
Ladies and gentlemen, I give you my friend, Dan Rather.
I'm the producer. I put the team together. We have Lucy Scott to run point. Colonel Roger Charles worked Abu Ghraib for us.
Mike Smith.
He was a researcher for us back in 2000.
What's our next move?
I might have something for the election.
The President of the United States may have gone AWOL from the military.
He never even showed up.
Those parts of his file they didn't like, they tossed in a wastebasket.
Do you have these documents?
These really are the holy grail of documents.
You've got 3 hours.
We're out of time.
Start outputting.
Go! Go, 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 go!
Tonight, we have new information on the President's military service.
Here's to a great story.
Hey, Mary, these blogs are saying that the memos can be recreated in Microsoft Word.
Several experts have raised serious questions.
They're going to start an investigation.
This is bad.
They do not get to do this. They do not get to smack us just for asking the question.
They want to talk to your source.
No. It's bad.
I never should have asked the question.
You gotta make your case, honey.
You have to fight.
Somebody has got to confirm those memos.
This isn't a trial. This is a hunt.
What we are talking about is you bringing your politics into your reporting.
I did nothing of the kind.
Where does politics not enter into this?
Our story was about whether the president fulfilled his service. Nobody wants to talk about that. They want to talk about fonts and forgeries. And they hope to God the truth gets lost in the scrum.
Also providing some acting chops there, Stacey Keach, as well as Bruce Greenwood. What now? I have a special place in this because I have a degree in journalism, so this kind of rung home a little bit at times. But I am of the kind, Kelly and Kobe, and you listening. Sometimes really good acting helps overcome maybe a pedestrian script or a familiar script. At least that's how I feel about this. I don't know about you.
Yeah, I think regardless of who gets cast in the show and how the script works, people kind of bring things to life in a completely different way.
Okay.
I'm curious about this one because it's such an obscure collection of people. Like their backgrounds are so random.
Well, and that's kind of what there's a few scenes of. Yeah, because you have Topher Grace is kind of the young, cynical, investigative, kind of digging in the dirt. Dennis Quaid, the conservative foil, and they do a little bit of that. An underused Elizabeth Moss, who has a background in education, And of course, Blanchett, who is the producer on this, Blanchett, of course, is just rock solid. I mean, especially in the second half of the film when things start to unravel, just watching her trying to maintain order and keep things going. And as you hear in the audio, people are talking more about the presentation than actual the fact itself. Redford is quite good. The critics and I were talking afterwards about how he didn't quite do an imitation of Rather. There's a little drawl here and there, but you know, we wish, and it's a nice wink and a nod for those who grew up watching All the President's Men, seeing Redford in this role. The other thing about it is, as I was getting to long-windedly, is this is a really fine film about journalism if you've never seen a film about journalism ever before. This is a film that really, really, really wants to be All the President's Men with a dash of The Insider. And so, ladies and gentlemen, the old fogey film critic, it reminds him of these two films. It's not as good as those two. But you're going to see those elements. Especially the first half of the film, there is a lot of the daily, nightly, and even hourly grind to get this piece done with a deadline looming. So I guess the other part is, depending on when was the last time you saw All the President's Men, this might seem really, you know, if you watched it last week, you're going to have trouble with the film. But there are scenes in that are reminiscent as far as getting verifications, trying to get the story clear, and then getting it done. Now, of course, the second half is, as you found out, and if I'm spoiler alert, you know, Dan Rather resigned. But this was the thing that caused him to resign. Not so much the backpedaling, but the double checking and trying to defend the honor of the story, and there is, of course, what reminds me of The Insider is the fight between what is news and what is corporate. So, and how sometimes news and corporate are usually locked arm in arm, unlike 40, 60 years ago. So anyway,
it's also an art film.
It is sort of an art film. but the performances, like I said, overcome kind of the script. And the directing there's a little heavy-handedness to the directing. There's especially at the end, and there is a slow-motion montage after the item is being aired on 60 Minutes, and it's what everybody is doing at the time the piece is being aired in slow motion. If you read Ed Johnson's Ott's review of this in Nouveau, he makes fun of a particular product placement, which does feel kind of odd in the middle of this picture. But then again, we're talking about corporations and their fingers on journalism anyway. So anyway, stay for the story if you haven't seen any other journalism films, and stick around for the performances overall. So,
yeah, it's not hella bad.
It's slightly better than hella bad. You know, heavy-handed, yes, but good performances. So there you go. Cobb, what is happening at your alma mater? Is there Halloween festivities at IU?
I don't know anything about these movies.
Well, that's why you're going to share them with us.
Tonight at 6:30, IU Cinema, experimental Hitchcock shorts program.
I bet they're shorts either about or by Alfred Hitchcock.
There you go.
See, what else you want to... Hey, ask me what's on the veggie sandwich. I'll tell you what's on that.
In their Friday Night Fright series at 9:30 tonight from 1981, Mommy Dearest.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. You have a performance. And I'm going to the performance. That's a bummer. That's Faye Dunaway as Joan Crawford. That's a camp classic. Oh, Kobe, that is going to be a rowdy night at IU. You should, you know, here if you're heading down, go to Ma Bears first. Go to Ma Bears and then go see Mommy Dearest Halloween Eve if you're in Bloomington. That's outstanding. We still got to get the president on the show.
Yeah, we do.
Because I want to pick his cinematic brain, because it's all kinds of cool. I know this is not a part of his series.
No.
But him and John Vickers, I would love to get in studio someday. Mm-hmm. That's our goal.
Oh, that would be
our
awesome.
Pledge dollars at need. So, okay, what else?
At midnight tonight, in the Midnight Movie Series, a comedy fantasy horror from 1977, Hausu.
Japanese?
Hausu.
Interesting. Okay. Got me there.
Halloween, 3:00, Sunset Boulevard from 1950.
No way.
Yep.
Now, have you seen Sunset Boulevard?
I have not seen Sunset
Boulevard.
I think
you would like Sunset Boulevard. It is set in Hollywood in the 50s. despite the black and whiteness, but glorious. No. And by the way, Kobe is not an anti-black and white person.
No.
But there are certain – Kobe, get ready. There are certain film descriptions that if I bring them up to Kobe, I can get a response immediately. For instance
– Nope.
Kobe, this is set in England at World War I.
Nope.
Not this one. This is a great Billy Wilder film with Gloria Swanson and the young, handsome William Holden. Rachel, that's for you. So, okay, what else is happening on Halloween Day?
Well, follow that up again, 7 o'clock with Haosu.
Okay.
Sunday, November 1st, 5 p.m., a Spotlight sneak preview. And then Monday, November 2nd, a couple cool series here.
Uh-oh.
In the Monday Matinee Classics and Sinatra at 100 series.
Ooh, here we go.
From 1955, Guys and Dolls at 3 p.m.
Oh, my gosh. Mm. Oh, my gosh. That's a film. Oh, my gosh. On one side, you have Frank Sinatra in a musical, which is always a good thing. And on the other side, you have Marlon Brando in a musical, which is an interesting thing.
Interesting.
That is, oh my gosh. I will have to share that with Emma. I think Emma's heard more mockery of Brando than actual Brando product itself, so we will have to work on that. That's cool. Okay.
And then, speaking of 7 o'clock, Monday, November 2nd, President's Choice.
Yep.
A 1966 drama war movie.
Von Ryan's Express.
The Battle of Algiers.
Oh, okay. I thought it was going to be a Sinatra thing. So, excellent film. Wow. Yeah, we got to get him on.
Yeah.
Maybe that's in November. Once The Exonerated is over, that should be the project. We should start calling him every day, like in Wall Street. And we should call our guy David and have David go over and bug him.
Yeah.
Dr. Baker, would you go to the president and tell him to be on our show, please? Now we sound like IU students.
Yeah.
Hey, do you want to come on the show? It'd be cool.
It's pretty cool.
It'd be cool. We can go get pizza afterwards and beer. It's professional radio right here, Kelly.
There you go.
Okay.
Living the dream.
And, yeah, thanks. And it is still, you know what? You bring blankets. You keep the heater on. You can still go to the drive-in on Halloween weekend. Yes?
You can go to one of them. The Tibbs.
Oh, Skyline not happening?
Thanks for attending the past 2015 season at the Tibbs.
Oh, salute to the Tibbs. Thank you for your information and your occasional odd pairings of films.
Mm-hmm.
You ever been to the drive-in?
I have, yeah.
Do you remember the last drive-in experience you had?
Oh, goodness. What was the most recent one that I saw? The new Transformers movie was one of the ones that was playing.
Why would you do that? Because you were at a drive-in.
You go for the experience, not necessarily the movie itself. You go to camp out and tailgate with your friends.
This is why I would be difficult to work with at a drive-in. So anyway, have you ever had an odd pairing? Do you remember a particularly odd pairing? We love weird pairings at the drive-in.
Oh, I'm trying to think. I can think of specific movies that I've seen. I saw when Signs first came out, I saw that one in a drive-in in Fort Wayne that was in a cornfield. That was an interesting experience.
It is. Oh, that's fun.
Slightly horrifying.
Nope.
Wait, how'd that go again, Cove?
Nope.
Yeah, that one stands out a lot.
Was Children of the Corn on the other bill?
No, but it should have been.
Or Field of Dreams? I don't know. Okay.
I can't think of any pairings, though.
All right, we'll work on that. So what else is happening there, Cobe?
At the Skyline is still open.
And beautiful Shelbyville.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Tonight at 8, Hotel Transylvania 2.
Sure, it's Halloween.
Well, tonight and tomorrow.
Halloween weekend. Yeah.
9:45, Goosebumps.
Yeah, creepy kids. It's kid creepy, not creepy kids
not
movie.
Creepy children.
That's Children of the Corn. Yeah. Okay.
Very different category.
And then,
oh boy,
at 11:30.
Oh man.
From 1974.
They're really doing this?
Mm-hmm.
They got to clear out the kids first before they show this.
I'm going to read the description and see if you know it.
Oh god.
A wandering ballad singer in the Appalachians meets an ugly bird type creature, is transported back in time, finds himself involved in the devil's work.
The Tom Waits story. What? Steve Earle, what?
The Legend of Hillbilly John.
An American gem.
Really? Hold on, let me see this.
Yep, The Legend of Hillbilly John tonight at the Skyline. Or no, sorry, October 31st only.
Oh, yes, of course, only. Oh my gosh. With Hedges Capers. That sounds like a salad. Hedges, Severin Darden, and Susan Strasberg. I do know her, not personally. Wow. Okay. Oh, it's PG-13.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Because occasionally, what I love about the Skyline is that, yeah, the third feature is usually something really obscure. And my guess is, like, somebody has a print of it in their basement. They have one guy that they call it. Well, actually, with a couple people here in town, it could be. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's usually something really obscure that I don't even know it. So I thought it was interesting that we have two kind of geared toward children movies. I'm like, yeah, you got to clear that drive-in out if you're going to show that. This one might be okay. Slightly odder. It's not Ms. 45, but then again, what is?
So, and then there's that Tonight at Midnight.
That's
at
right.
Keystone Landmark.
This weekend, you can see Abel Ferrara's dirty, grungy New York female death wish type film, Ms. 45, a woman who is raped, and then she goes after the assailants one by one. It's on paper, I spit on your grave, but a better script. Well, slightly better script and better acting. And better directing. Definitely better directing. Okay, what else we got there, Cobb?
IMA, nothing this weekend, but The Secret of NIMH next Saturday.
As part of the
Serial Cinema.
S-E-R or
C-E-R?
Not Serial, which you can hear on NPR.
No.
Can we also check the Art Craft in Franklin when you get a chance? Thank you.
And then, again, looking forward to the Internet Cat Video Festival at the IMA November 20th.
You taking Frank? They should be able to bring...
That would be great. However, I feel like that would be just a complete disaster.
A complete cluster?
Yeah.
Cat cluster of... What if you put them on a leash? Does Frank have a leash?
He has a harness... but
that makes it sound even worse.
Well,
it's not a leash.
It's not a leash that, like, you know, goes around his neck and, you know, everything. It's like a little body harness thing goes around his neck and his front legs and everything.
In case he's in the circus.
But he can wiggle out of that.
He's Houdini.
Yeah, he is.
Frank Dini. Okay, we're going to put Frank in his harness and put him in water. 30 seconds, go! Wow, I didn't think he could do anything for not having thumbs.
He
can't cook, but he can get out of his harness.
He's made a lot of progress.
Okay, that's very good. Also, film sociology, you're home for Frank updates.
Yep.
Okay, what do we got there?
It looks like Art Craft in Franklin is having a fundraiser next weekend.
Uh-huh.
Cartoons for Cans. Looks like they're showing Looney Tunes up on
the big screen.
Yeah.
Oh, now that would be fun.
That's
if you're
what
not
it appears
if you're not seeing The Exonerated at Earlham College. Mm-hmm. That's good. Okay. Very cool.
Christmas movies are getting ready for.
Oh gosh, really?
Yes.
When are they showing Elf first?
Tickets on sale now. Yep, November 27th to 28th, Black Friday
that's
weekend.
That's not bad.
Elf.
All right, that's not bad.
Yeah,
it's not November. Yeah, the first weekend of November. Okay.
December 4th, 5th, and 6th, A Christmas Story.
Okay. Sorry, I think it's overrated.
11th, 12th, and 13th. Any guesses?
Miracle on 34th Street.
Nope.
Thank you, Archer. Bad Santa.
Nope. One more.
Silent Night, Deadly Night.
Wrong on all counts. White Christmas.
Oh, White Christmas, of course. And then Holiday Inn?
Nope. 18th, 19th, 20th.
My birthday weekend.
Christmas Vacation.
Oh.
He said with enthusiasm.
Okay. Well, there's one Bing movie in there. It's
yeah.
No Trip to Bedford Falls. But then again, I still defend, I don't think It's a Wonderful Life is a Christmas film. I think that's unfair. My goal now in life is to direct It's a Wonderful Life at an earlier time or later time of the year. Mm. And also present Fudge while I'm there.
Coming up.
Yes, sir.
November 13th and 14th.
Uh-huh.
At the Art Craft.
Yes.
Guess who's coming to dinner?
The Sidney Poitier, Catherine Hepburn,
mm-hmm.
Spencer Tracy's final film.
Yep.
You ever seen it?
I have not.
You two would like that, I believe. Yes. Have you seen that?
I have not.
We have to work on that. Ooh, field trip. We always brag and threaten about the film sociology. Actually, you were a part of the film sociology field trip with The Room, so.
It's true, yes.
We were all there for that. But, so that's happening. Spencer Tracy's last one. I believe he died like a week after filming. It's a heartbreaking swan song, but a fine film of its time dealing with race relations. Oh, and the Yes Film Festival is happening
in Columbus.
It is not about the recording of Fragile. Now that would be a film festival. If it was a film festival entirely devoted to the band, yes. That sounds like something Kobe and I would try to create when in college.
It'd be a short film festival, but...
Man, it was just... We played the Soderbergh concert film and VH1 Behind the Music and, the History of Yes on Ovation. So, no, what is happening at Yes?
Columbus, Indiana, November 6th through the 8th at, what is the theater? What is the theater down there?
In Columbus?
The Yes Cinema in
the Yes Cinema.
Columbus.
Oh, so it's not the Chris Squire Theater.
No.
Nope.
Details at yesfilmfestival.com.
There you go. See, ladies and gentlemen, there is plenty to do. You're going to need a break from the election, and you're going to need to take a break from Halloween or recover from Halloween. So there's plenty of movies to choose from across central Indiana.
And it's time to gear up for Spectre.
And yes, and gearing up for Spectre and the Peanuts movie, which is next week.
Yeah.
I have already promised Emma, who turns 14 on Thursday. Yeah, so I said once the exonerated is over, we will go to an IMAX screening of Spectre, and that will be good, and it will knock your block off. So, all right, we're going to take a short break. I want to get through a couple of movies on DVD and Blu-ray. We're going to chat with Kelly Gualdoni about Titus Andronicus, and then thanks to the Onion Inventory, horror movies that Kobe will not see.
Nope.
That's not the name of the inventory. You're listening to Film Sociology, a film talk show here on WFYI HD2 The Point and WFYI.org.
Any good? Sir?
What?
Are either one of these any good?
I don't watch movies.
Well, have you heard anything about either one of them?
I find it's best to stay out of other people's affairs. You know who I can do without? I can do without the people in the video store.
Which ones?
All of them.
What would you get for a 6-year-old boy who chronically wets his bed?
So do you have any new movies in?
Do you have that one with that guy who was in that movie that was out last year?
They never rent quality flicks. They always pick the most intellectually devoid movie on the racks.
Ooh, Navy SEALs!
It's like in order to join, they have to have an IQ less than their shoe size.
Just go open the video store.
Yeah, open the video store!
Blockbuster Video! Wow, what a difference!
Well, in case you didn't see it, here it is again.
Welcome back to Film Sociology, a film talk show here on WFYI HD2 The Point and WFYI.org. If you have a question or a comment, you can email me at msoci@WFYI.org, also on Facebook, also on Twitter at Matthew Soci, hanging out with Kelly Gualdoni, who is playing Tamara in the Eclectic Pond production of Titus Andronicus, which is running tonight and tomorrow night. And Kobe, have the Bobcats had their first game yet?
I'll check on that right now.
Because as you know, Film Sociology, you're home for Tyler Hansborough information. We have to see how white basketball is doing.
Yep.
Our favorite children's story reader. another thing I've inflicted on Kelly many years. So, and you're the better, and you're all the better for it. I believe.
Am. It changed my life that day.
It did, because you not. But you say library properly from here on out. You can be lazy on other words, but library, no,
yes.
Nope. Okay. A couple of titles I want to discuss on DVD and Blu-ray. There was one one of the titles that I got to watch, and it I have the same issue with this film that I did with Truth, and this is the boxing drama Southpaw from Anton Fuqua. The man is still riding off his Training Day credit. He is still being listed as from the director of Training Day because he really hasn't come close to anything since. Although, sidebar, I teach a theater appreciation class at Ivy Tech. And this week, my students and I, we read Much Ado About Nothing. So we read about half of it on Tuesday. We finished it up on Thursday. And as a little treat for them plowing through a pretty difficult script, I showed them highlights of the Kenneth Branagh film version of Much Ado. And it was fun to... There was one Harry Potter fan in the crowd, so her seeing Ken and Emma kind of made her giddy. And the guys were oddly distracted of seeing Denzel Washington do Shakespeare. They're used to him just beating people up and taking names. So
yeah, Denzel playing Denzel.
Yeah, you know, well, he was Denzel. Back when he was sort of allowed to do a comedy. I kind of had a rant. He hasn't done a comedy since The Preacher's Wife, which I actually liked, and it's almost 20 years ago. Now, I know he makes a kajillion dollars doing Denzel-like things, but and I know he's going to be producing films based on the plays of August Wilson. So that'll be cool. But I would like at least one more comedy out of him before he goes, just like I'd like one more home run from Al Pacino,
yeah,
if possible. So we'll see. Anyway, back to Southpaw. Jake Gyllenhaal plays a boxing champion with his wife and near dear, almost his manager, played by Rachel McAdams. Forrest Whitaker, 50 Cent, Curtis Jackson. I don't think has he earned his name status like Dwayne Johnson or
I
no?
I don't think so.
No?
Dwayne's been doing a lot more
quality work.
Quality, been around longer.
And when was the last time Mr. Cent recorded an album? That's the other part. If he's done with that and moved on to movies?
I don't know. He was in court earlier this year and everybody found out he is not as well off as he portrays himself.
Get out. This is kind of what's happening in Southpaw. So when a tragic event happens to Gyllenhaal's family and he has to kind of start his way back at the bottom to move his way up to the top. In fact, going into a really grungy gymnasium with old grizzled trainer played by Forrest Whitaker. Really good performance by Gyllenhaal. Really good performance by Forrest Whitaker. A really good boxing movie if you've never seen a film about boxing in your life. So, and you're laughing because you've seen one. Therefore, this is probably not going to hit you between the eyes like it should. There you go. So that is out there. Also on DVD and Blu-ray, a film I'm actually going to defend because of what it is, what it really is more than what it appears to be, and that's Pixels. This is a film. It is a decent film, despite it is not an Adam Sandler film, despite the presence of Adam Sandler in it. This is the one, of course, where your favorite 80s and 90s arcade characters are invading the Earth. So it's kind of a spoof of disaster movies. You pick them, Independence Day, you know, any of those, Armageddon, Deep Impact, whatever. So there is that. And, of course, it is up to video game nerds like Adam Sandler, Josh Gad, and the always good to see Peter Dinklage, who are supposed to save things. So we have those. And, of course, Sandler, because it's a Happy Madison film, is the lead in this that's kind of leading the charge. There is, of course, the female. I believe she's a soldier. And, of course, they don't like each other at the beginning of the film, which means, yeah, other things will happen. So there are the elements of the stock characters and scenarios of a disaster movie, but there's a couple just all right. So my favorite example of why, of course, Kobe, this film flawed. You have
it's
a scene.
Flawed.
It is flawed because there is a few Happy Madison moments that really are not needed, and that kind of really bugged me. I'm still recommending the film. I think you should rent it. And we, you know, you always hear critics complain about how movies look like video games. This one's allowed to do so. I think if you have Pac-Man and Q-Bert, and yeah, a little too much Q-Bert, even though I enjoyed the game as a kid. When we have all of those characters and you're battling them to save the planet, you're allowed to have a video game like feel to it. But there is a moment where there's a couple of casting moments. You have Brian Cox, the great English character actor, that guy, of course, Super Troopers, the original Dr. Hannibal Lecter in Manhunter. If you watched Frasier, Daphne's dad. Yeah, that guy. Anyway, he plays the gruff general that doesn't want any non-military to help out in the fight. You have the British Prime Minister, played by the famed stage actress Fiona Shaw, who is cast as the President of the United States in Pixels? Kevin James. Yeah. You couldn't find any other actor in SAG to play that, to play the role and give it a little bit of gravitas, just like you did with Brian Cox and Fiona Shaw. Really? Really? That's... Yeah. And guess what? James is portrayed as kind of a George W. Bush doesn't know how to read, Tyler Hansbrough teaches him how to read type character. It's just low-hanging fruit. So despite that, I'm still saying rent it. But for me, the biggest surprise, and I missed it when it came in out in theaters, and I really wanted to check it out. And this turned out to be my Halloween gift. It is not bloody, Kobe. It is slightly unnerving. But I think you might want to check this out. And it's the film called The Gift.
Oh.
With Jason Bateman and Joel Edgerton, who also wrote and directed this. Now, the setup is Bateman has just moved into a new house with his wife, and they're trying to have a child. And he comes across an old friend from high school who he doesn't quite really... social media's on. You all right over there?
Yeah.
Good. And he meets an old friend from a friend from high school who he doesn't quite remember, and then he realizes this was the kid that they made fun of, and the Joel Edgerton character starts hanging out at the house a little too much and bringing too many gifts and starting to get a little too clingy. And on paper, and I know your reaction, Kobe, the trailer kind of has a stalky...
Yeah.
It does have a little stalky feel to it. It does. Little. Not quite Fatal Attraction. It's a little
just a little stalky.
I like Fatal Attraction, but sometimes it's too stalky. But as the film goes on, you find out more about the past, the connection between the Jason Bateman character and the Joel Edgerton character. And Bateman is not the victim with a halo as you might think. So those turnings happen, especially halfway through the film, and the film does not turn into big dumb horror movie at the end. It does not. I was expecting a Fatal Attraction type ending, the one that Adrian Lyne didn't want to begin with. It does not become dumb slasher movie at the end. It is unsettling. It's a little disturbing. You may think about your own past relationships with friends in high school or acquaintances in high school, but it's handled with a delicate touch, and kudos to Joel Edgerton, who is of course that guy from The Great Gatsby and Zero Dark Thirty, mm-hmm. and Warrior, the one who's not Tom Hardy, and of course the dad as Emma puts it, he was the dad in The Life of Timothy Green. So and he was Tom in Gatsby. But always liked his work, and the fact that he got this written and directed and puts in a really nice performance. So, again, unsettling, but not as nope as you think, Kobe.
Now that was a good movie.
It was. And if you're into David Lynch, hi, Kobe.
Nope. No.
Not even The Elephant Man?
Never seen.
I know. The Straight Story, you would. That's a G-rated David Lynch movie.
Yeah.
Anyway, Criterion has put out... Well, there's one scene you'll want to see in Mulholland Drive, and it involves Naomi Watts and Laura Herring, and that's all I'm just going to say right there. So, anyway, that is out there. Hi, Kelly.
Hi.
How you doing?
Doing well.
So, Kelly is a part of the Eclectic Pond production of Titus Andronicus, Shakespeare's bloodiest tragedy, which is happening tonight and tomorrow night at 8 o'clock. Where is it again?
It is at the Indie Artists Colony. Over on 14th Street.
So INDIE?
Yes, correct.
Very good. So, full disclosure, I got to do Titus Andronicus this summer with the Richmond Shakespeare Festival, so I'm very excited to see somebody else's take on the show. I don't mean this the way it sounds when I say, why'd you pick this one? Was it because of the Halloween slot? Or
Me personally, or the company?
Well, the company itself.
The company itself. They actually did. They did a show where they did little snippets of different Shakespeare shows, and then the audience kind of voted to see which show they wanted put into their season the following year. And Titus,
you
was
listen
the one,
to the audience? Wow.
Yeah, that's how they do it. But okay. The audience ended up picking Titus Andronicus, and so that's the one that they decided to do, and they put it in the Halloween slot because it's very. Very dark. It's kind of a Shakespearean Game of Thrones episode of sorts.
It has been called that. I think Reservoir Dogs was another title that was brought up
solid,
on this.
Solid one.
Yeah, that's solid. And it's if you read, once you see it, you'll see elements of other plot points that Shakespeare will expand in other stories, like Othello, mm-hmm. Macbeth, Richard III. We're not in the theater. I can say it. Get over it. but yeah, basically, you play Tamora, the Queen of Goths, mm-hmm. and your oldest son is sacrificed.
Yes. Actually, what they did in our version of it, they set it in kind of a post-apocalyptic world, and it's a matriarchal society and a patriarchal society. And I'm the matriarch.
Estrogen
and...
versus no, anyway.
Spoiler alert, no one wins.
Yeah.
Essentially, they actually changed my oldest son to my oldest daughter. So,
oh, even worse.
What they take,
in some cases.
What they take from me is my ability to kind of carry on my family's line.
Correct.
And they kill her in a very terrible way. And it kind of sends everything spiraling out of control, and it's kind of the story of the revenge of what happened there.
Right. So. And that's, of course, with Titus, who wants to be a soldier. He does not want to be a politician.
Correct.
And yes. And then you use a really, really humble guy in Saturninus for his crown and his wealth. By the way, I played Saturninus this summer. Yeah, he truly loves you, you know. He's just not very smart.
Yeah, I love him. He's kind of dumb. he becomes a puppet.
We are Tamora. Used for our crown and our bodies. I know. It's all right. It's okay.
It's all right. As long as you know.
Yeah, guys can be decorative too.
But it's interesting. Tamora is a really fun character to play because she hides behind the fact that she's pretty and everyone thinks that that's her weapon, but her actual weapon is the fact that she's extremely intelligent.
Yeah.
So while she sits back and she will, tell everyone, she even says to Titus at one point, all quarrels die, Andronicus. And then 2 seconds later, she steps forward and tells the audience, I'll find a day to massacre them all. Like, she's very, very cunning, and it's a very fun character to get to play with. So.
Yeah, and I guess the other question that, because we keep talking about how bloody and how violent this play is, how are you handling those situations? I don't want to give away too much, but there's a nickname I give Titus Andronicus, and it's Lavinia and the Terrible, Horrible, No Good, Very Bad Day. Not a good day. Not a good day for Lavinia, who's the daughter of Titus. There's a scene where Tamara's sons are unleashed on poor Lavinia,
yeah.
Which leads to the more Shakespearean plot things happening involving Titus seeking revenge on fair Tamora.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Are you doing the old traditional horrid stuff happening off stage or
it's kind of interesting how it works where this scene there's a scene that happens that takes place in the woods where Tamora unleashes her sons and without giving away too much of the plot points, which I think, you know, the story's hundreds of years old, so
yeah,
it's
if you
not
want to look
really
it up,
a spoiler alert. But
then again, I think, you know, when you hit them with these in the play description, you're either going to get an audience or you're not.
It's true. Yeah. It's very true. But, you know, there's this scene where, you know, she says the worse to her, the better loved of me is what
Thanks,
she tells
Mom.
To her sons.
Yeah.
It's very, very twisted. But then the actual horror happens off stage, but then you see the aftermath.
Yeah.
And the aftermath is brutal. I saw, and this is just, you know, Titus is a very specific audience demographic.
Yeah, it is.
It's not for the faint of heart, I'll say.
Kobe, you'll appreciate this. Kobe and his lovely wife got to see my wife's production of Midsummer, which she mm-hmm. directed at Shakespeare. And I wore my Shakespeare shirt, actually the one I'm wearing now, at... There's a melodrama that happens at Richmond Civic, and I was helping out with concessions, and these two ladies come up. Oh, are you an actor with the festival? I went, yeah, I was in Titus Andronicus. Oh, we enjoyed Midsummer. you're gonna get the people that love. I would say, lots of people or lots of companies do Shakespeare, not everybody can say that they've done Titus Andronicus.
Absolutely.
I would say people that like even Romeo and Juliet or Midsummer or As You Like It, people like the comedies and even some of the tragedies like Hamlet and Romeo is at R&J. Titus might not be everybody's cup of tea.
Mm-hmm. Titus essentially, in going back to the Game of Thrones analogy, it's essentially if Cersei Lannister and Littlefinger were an item and then someone made them angry. And
there you
the
go,
aftermath
folks.
Of what happens.
Is that in the program? Do you have a chart?
I think Shakespeare actually originally wrote that.
I think so. Right, yeah, now. Go crazy there. So, okay, now you're looking up pictures of the cast, aren't you, Cobe?
Yeah.
Yeah, they look good, don't they? Yeah. See, and we said futuristic. That's good because there's no football gear. It's not 80s version of futuristic like the Road Warrior where everybody looks like they're in post-apocalyptic football scrimmage.
Yeah, everyone has shoulder pads for some reason.
Yeah, exactly.
That's just a
yeah,
thing.
Spikes. Like, what are you, wrestlers from the 80s? What is that? So, well, cool. Very good. And I would say, how big a space do you have? Because that's the other one. Because not giving away anything, the final scene gets crowded.
It does. Which actually, for those who know how the story ends, particularly the way that I die is quite brutal in that.
Can't wait.
But,
and you get to just literally jump into it.
Yes.
Dive into it, yes.
Yes, dive into it is a good word for what happens to me. I completely lost my train of thought on what I was going to say. But
dying.
Essentially our set, dying and stuff. Yep. That's a lot of that happens in Titus. There's like 15 deaths or something.
A body count, right?
Yeah.
I think we had like Team Tamara and Team Titus who had the better count.
Mm-hmm. 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 But our stage itself, to answer your question, was it's multiple levels. So there's different platforms that we kind of play on.
Oh, that's good. That's good. Because you get kind of bodies lying on each other. Kind
it's
of.
True. Yeah, I don't think we have anybody that's stacked on top of each other. In
that's
the end.
Good.
It's all fairly spread
even.
Out. We made,
that's good death feng shui.
It's true. Our director was a guy named Tom Cardwell. He's lovely. He's one of the heads of the Olympic Pond. And he... yeah, he did a really good job staging it. So.
Yeah, the gang from HGTV come and you love it and list it or kill it.
Yeah. You don't want to stack everybody up so you can't move through and get to the kitchen.
Because dead weight's hard to move, you know, if you're having company over.
You got to plan ahead. You just got to.
And by the way, just a simple mask. I'm not Tamara. I'm Revenge.
Yes. Tamara
disguises.
She's brilliant in most of the show and in her plot points, but there's one very crucial mistake that she makes that she thinks is a brilliant plan, and it's awful.
You know what that is, Cobe? That is actually called the Shakespearean flaw. How you like them apples? Ah.
Yeah.
Anyway, cool. But very good. I'm really excited. This is going to be because I think once my show is over, I'll probably watch Tame Wars again.
Mm-hmm.
That's a habit that I have. That once I'm done with a project, I'm like, oh yeah, how'd I do this? And then finally, I'll have something in common with Alan Cumming. But that's really okay.
There you go.
Well, cool. So of course, it's happening tonight and tomorrow night at 8:00.
Yes.
Happening again where?
Over at the Indie Artists Colony over on 14th Street, so like right across the street from the studio here.
There you go, literally. So you might see us there.
Yeah.
Actually, I think I'm going to go to Sample before and then come back here.
Roger that.
It's been a long day. And once again, thank you for your pledge dollars. We appreciate it. Cobe, can we get Chris Lloyd's intro?
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I appreciate it.
We can do that.
I know you can.
See what we're doing here?
what sounds like bantering? We're trying to get something queued up and ready to go.
Yeah.
Doing our the annual show of dead people we like.
there's a pretty big one this
we
week.
We don't have time for dead people we don't like.
Yes.
All right, you two whippersnappers.
What do we do this time?
You were born too soon. That's what. Need to raise a glass to Maureen O'Hara, one of my favorites. As I call her, the OSL, the original sassy lass. Mm. Just gonna go back and some of these I'm sure Bianca has in the queue ready to go, but going as far back as 1939 in Jamaica Inn. As well as Esmeralda in the 1939 version of The Hunchback of Notre Dame. Take that, Demi Moore. And Salma Hayek, sure. There was one made for cable with Mandy Patinkin. Dance Girl Dance from 1940. Of course, worked with John Ford on four occasions. One of the most notable ones, 1941's How Green Was My Valley, With, of course, a young Roddy McDowall. The Black Swan, not the ballet movie from Darren Aronofsky, sorry. Buffalo Bill from 1944. I'm not doing all of the films, just a few highlights. She played Shireen in Sinbad the Sailor in 1947. Of course, played the mom in Miracle on 34th Street, the original. Of course, played Princess Marjan in Baghdad, as well as Katie Howard in Comanche Territory. Also worked with John Ford in 1950's Rio Grande. Also her first time working with John Wayne. The one actress that John... Well, no, there was a couple of actresses that John Wayne actually had respect for. Catherine... Well, if you read up on Duke, Catherine Hepburn, Geraldine Page, and Marina Hara. She, of course, famously known for playing Mary Kate in The Quiet Man. So this was a woman that held her own with John Ford and John Wayne, and she's all kind of awesome that way. Also, War Arrow from 1953, Lady Godiva in Lady Godiva in 1955, Our Man in Havana back in 1959, worked on Sam Peckinpah's first film, the Western The Deadly Companions with Brian Keith, and that same year also worked with Brian Keith in the original Parent Trap, the one with Haley Mills. Also worked on Mr. Hobbs Takes a Vacation, Spencer's Mountain, the Western sort of version of Taming of the Shrew with John Wayne called McClintock. If you want to see Maureen O'Hara get spanked, McClintock's the one for you. From 1966, Rare Breed, the last time she worked, also worked with Wayne and John Wayne and John Ford on Wings of Eagles, I believe 1957. Final time working with Duke was 1971's Big Jake, and a film that she absolutely adored, always talked about, and said one of her favorite leading men was John Candy in Only the Lonely. She played the domineering mother of Candy when Candy starts to fall for Ally Sheedy, and she just kind of becomes a wedge between the two. Anyway, smart, sassy lady who held her own with the likes of John Wayne and John Ford, and you two should start adding those to your Netflix account.
And stay tuned.
Yeah?
Because on November 20th, TCM is planning a 24-hour film tribute.
And I didn't even call to tell them that. So when is that again?
November 20th.
What are they going to show?
Such films as Jamaica Inn, McClintock, Big Jake, The Quiet Man, Wings of Eagles, Sinbad the Sailor, The Spanish Main, and Deadly Companions.
That's a day right there. Have you seen Quiet Man?
Yeah.
You have?
Mm-hmm.
Kel?
I have not.
It's one where he drags her all the way across. Yep.
Yeah, five miles. There's a moment that if I'm... I had a similar moment, not quite that bad with Lynn, but okay, full disclosure. On our honeymoon, I have issues with Ferris wheels.
I do too. I hate them.
Okay. Well, we were... good. Well, where were you when I... Well, it was my honeymoon. You weren't up there.
I was not there.
But we were in Paris. And there was a Ferris. Our hotel was right a stone's throw from the Millennium Wheel, and it just, you know, it loomed over me. And it was our last night in Paris, and I knew Lynn really wanted to go, so I grabbed her wrist, and I didn't quite drag her like Duke does to Mary Kate in that film, but it was my, of course, I also had Up Where We Belong stuck in my head when I was dragging her to the Ferris wheel and confronting my fear. So now it's become a bit that if I want to show, look, I'm taking matters into my own hands and I'm Mike Gundy, I will take her wrist and give it just a gentle jab, and she'll know I'm trying to recreate The Quiet Man. But yeah, anyway, so that is out. There's also the one John Wayne film people who hate John Wayne will watch. So there is that. Also, a combination, John Ford, I believe, yeah, he won Best Director for that. There's some gorgeous footage of Ireland. They shot this on location in Ireland. And it kind of also shows off the so not Ireland shots that happen, especially in the the close-ups. All the close-ups where they're riding on the wagon, on a buggy. Yeah, you're like, so not Ireland. There is that. Okay, Halloween. Well, your costume's taken care of.
It's true.
You that's good. You should probably just head out afterwards.
I've thought about that. Wear my last outfit as Tamara, just paint my face like a member of KISS or something, and just done.
Yeah, you're done. See, you're set there. So The Onion, of course, doing Horror Week because it's Halloween week. Don't forget, Sammy Terry. He's on 13.2. Can we double check that,
yes,
please? Thank you, sir. They had some really interesting inventories that I'm going to share with some. And so I will see if these have tapped into your psyche or not. The first one, Nightmare Fuel, 21 horrifying moments from children's entertainment. Thank you to The Onion, starting with Large Marge from Pee-wee's Big Adventure. That's pretty good.
Hey, that one's real.
I do like that's the top. I don't know if these are in a particular order, but that's the top. The Muppet Show, You Do Something to Me. That one I don't quite recall. Oh, yeah. Number three, The Tunnel from Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory. Yeah,
hate it.
Not
hate
necessary.
It as a child.
Not necessary. Gene Wilder flipping out at the end and The Tunnel, not necessary. Number four, Sid's Toys from Toy Story.
How Toy Story 2 was not the story of Sid in a psych ward, I will never understand.
Because I was too busy crying during the Jesse montage. That's why.
Fair.
I still cried harder than I did at the end of Toy Story 3.
That's fair.
Okay, this is after my time. The Brave Little Toaster, Fighter Clown Dream? I don't know. Judge Doom in Who Framed Roger Rabbit?
Yep.
Yep. Hot... Okay, I don't like this. A Goofy Movie from 1995, Hot Tub Scene? I didn't write this. From 1981, The Purple Smurfs in The Smurfs. That's after my time. If they're anything like the Purple Minions, I guess. Dumbo, Pink Elephants on Parade?
Yep.
Okay, good. Kobe, you doing okay?
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, gosh, yeah. The Last Unicorn, Mommy Fortuna's Death. I just showed this to Emma earlier this year, and it was that kind of, yeah, the kind of weird, dark animated films of the late 70s, early 80s, like Secret of NIMH that we were talking about earlier. But yeah, Last Unicorn's definitely on there. Fidget Surprise from The Great Mouse Detective, 1986.
Oh, yeah.
The Nothing from The Neverending Story, yeah. Mm-hmm. And Emma doesn't like that either. This one I don't remember, but from 1976 on Sesame Street, Count turns Ernie into a zombie. And members of the zombies. Wow. They made it to number 15, The Winged Monkeys.
Mm.
Wizard of Oz. Evil Queen Mombi from Return to Oz, which I never saw.
Never saw
that. Miss Finch from Sesame Street Presents Follow That Bird, 1985. Dragon the Cat from Secret of NIMH, which will be shown at IU Cinema. There's that. Skeksis from The Dark Crystal. Sorry, I just never watch that a lot.
I'm just going to smile and nod at that one.
That's okay.
I have no idea what that is.
Better than the I'm laughing because you're pretty.
It's true.
Somebody said that to me. She's on the show. The Creepy Crow Mystery from We're Back. The Transformation of the Little Boys into Donkeys, 1940, Pinocchio.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty unnerving. Thomas and Friends, Henry Bricked in the Tunnel. Yeah, I actually saw that. That was kind of weird. So there's that list. Kobe only had a couple of those. How are we on? What is up with Sammy Terry?
Sammy Terry, triple feature.
Yes.
Tomorrow. WTTV 4, digital channel 4.2. This is not WTTV 4, the main channel.
Correct.
That you watch the Colts on. This is 4.2 digital channel. So check your cable listings for that. Or if you have an antenna, punch in 4.2 on your remote and you'll get it. Saturday, 1:30, Silence of the Lambs, Diary of the Dead, after that at 4, and Halloween 2 at 6 p.m.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. Okay. And can we check Svengoolie's showing tomorrow night, 10
yep.
o'clock, MeTV? Okay. So also, the 25 best horror movies since 2000, according to the writers of The Onion, or as Kobe likes to call this article, nope. Number 25, Martyrs, which I have not seen. Number 24, Ginger Snaps. Still haven't seen. Mm-hmm. Number 23, The Strangers. Don't want to see. Number 22, The Others. Nicole Kidman and Creepy House.
Oh,
saw that.
The first one that I've seen.
Number 21, 28 Weeks Later. Underrated sequel to 28 Days Later. Number 20, May. Number 19, the unpleasant Australian film Wolf Creek. Number 18, Kill List. Number 17, this should be higher, the Korean monster movie, The Host. Fun, scary movie. Enjoyed that. Go look for it. Number 16, Trouble Every Day. Haven't seen it. Number 15, Guillermo del Toro's The Devil's Backbone. Number 14, this should be higher, and there's a great debate on whether this is a horror movie or not, Joss Whedon's The Cabin in the Woods.
Oh, yeah.
Really enjoyed that. Number 13, Pulse. Number 12, The Orphanage. Number 11, The Ring. I made fun of The Ring on television, as much as I like looking at Naomi Watts. Number 10, Inside. Number 9, Let the Right One In. This is the original Swedish vampire movie. Number 8, Cure. Number 7, The Descent. Kobe's giving me 1 minute. Number 6, Drag Me to Hell. That's pretty good. Number 5, 28 Days Later. Number 4, House of the Devil. Number 3, The Babadook. Really good. Number 2, It Follows. Also really good. And number 1, even though it was made in 1999 and released in the U.S. in 2001, the Takeshi Mike's film Audition. Have fun looking at that one. Do we have some words to live by?
Silent breed is people!
Zardoz has spoken.
Go see Titus Andronicus. We deserve it. And you deserve it. Kelly, thanks for hanging out.
Thanks for having me.
You're listening to the Film Sociology, a film talk show here on WFYI HD to the Point and WFYI.org. Why are the Lions in London this weekend? Good God.
I don't know. We gone. Good night, Fort Myers. Good night, California. Sven Gulli has Frankenstein tomorrow night.